Pretty sure y'all know this story, the context anyway, from John's Gospel pretty early on, where a Pharisee named Nicodemus travels to have a conversation with Jesus at night. And Jesus is trying to explain to Nicodemus that for him to enter into the kingdom of God, into all that Christ brings into the world, he's going to have to undergo an entirely new way of thinking and being in the world. He'll have to be born again. And we pick up the latter part of the conversation here just now, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light." I was in a group Friday morning, a discipleship group of some men, friends of mine. We were meditating on this text, and one of the friends in the group, when we went around the table and said, "What are you hearing?" said, "I hear three words when you read that. Believe, condemned, darkness. Believe, condemned, darkness." And he said, "What I'm hearing is the truth that the more I stand self-condemned, the more I want to remain in darkness because I don't believe." And I thought, that's it. Thank you. I think of people who suffer deep shame or guilt or fear in connection to this text and what that friend of mine said on Friday morning. That is to say, the more we try to hide the dark things in our lives, the more darksome they become. The more we keep them hidden, the harder it is for light to reach them. But this is a natural instinct. This is a natural instinct for all people. This is not just a problem for the man Friday in my group, or for Nicodemus. The tendency, the instinct to bury or to hide things that are painful or difficult or sinful. It was Albert Einstein who once said famously that we cannot solve our problems by the same thinking that caused the problems in the first place. In order for problems to be solved, we have to have a new way of thinking about them. So I think of people who are particularly susceptible to, what the 12 Steps program and Alcoholics Anonymous would call stinking thinking, which is to continue to think in the same ways about the patterns of life that have led us into dark places in the first place. I've been doing some rereading lately on 12 Steps, just for my pastoral edification, and because so many of the people that I know and love have been the beneficiaries of 12 Steps. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest, has written really well on this. And I was just taking up this past week and going back to step four. Some of you in the room will know this by memory because of your own hard work in 12 Steps. But step four is the following: make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. That sounds an awful lot like Lent to me. Perhaps we only come into new ways of thinking, a new consciousness, by doing just that, through the struggle of self-examination, of allowing light to come into those places that we would rather keep buried, keep in darkness. And I can't help thinking, as I've shared here and there over the years, of my own younger brother, Bill, who suffered from terrible addictions, mainly to alcohol, for a number of years before he died tragically. And it is not in any way to kind of throw him under the bus here before you all to say that, you know, a red flag went up the first time he went away to treatment center. And he came out, and I talked to him the day after he got out and asked him how he was doing. And he said, "I'm doing fine. That was a good thing. You know, I recommend that to anybody." And I didn't know why a red flag went up. But Bill would be the first to tell you that later, after much more pain and darkness, he would say, "I am helpless." He did come to be able to say that, but not then. "Oh, I'm fine." The darkness is not your real self, however. That's not who you are, essentially. It is, rather, that part of you that you don't want anyone else to see. Maybe you don't want yourself to look at. So again, we avoid it. We pretend it isn't there. We keep it buried. And in so doing, as Jesus said, I think, we love the darkness more than the light. I think that is a helpful way to hear this text from John chapter 3 today. When Jesus says, very challengingly, people love the darkness more than the light. So the call of Lent, the call out of what I'm sharing with you now, is not a call to self-loathing and self-flagellation. Again, this is, I think, the Lenten pathway in the life of the church to freedom. For the goal is not to become perfect. It's not to avoid darkness altogether or sin altogether, because we're just not possible to do that. But it is rather to trust that there is something greater than the darkness, namely the light, or as they say in the 12 Steps, a higher power. And that is why 12 Steps and Alcoholics Anonymous are not explicitly, but yet profoundly, profoundly Christian in my book. Jesus says we prefer darkness to light. Again, not that we set out to seek out evil. We just allow the false narratives, personal woundedness, wayward desires that we all have to begin to define our destiny for us. And then we keep that buried. Well-known Methodist preacher and excellent writer, Will Willimon, tells the story of a man that he knew who confessed to him later in life that when he was a child, this man, and he had a younger sister, experienced the following invariably at Christmas time. That he would receive clothes from Santa Claus that were always, always one or two sizes too big. And his younger sister always would receive clothes from Santa Claus that were one or two sizes too small. What was going on there with Santa Claus in that house? And he lived a difficult life, because what he discerned later as he looked back and sort of examined the path, the woundedness of his life, was that his parents, one of them at least, wanted him to be bigger, stronger, more. Wanted his sister to remain small, innocent, pure. And that was being subtly communicated through those Christmas gifts year after year after year. And it was a weight he could not bear. He thought he was protecting himself by keeping that buried. In fact, he was just burying his true self, who he really was. Again, Jesus says that we prefer the darkness to the light. This is what he means. The poet W.H. Auden once wrote these words: "We would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in dread than climb the cross of the moment and let our illusions die." That is some powerful stuff. Again, that is Lent. We would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in dread than climb the cross of the moment and let our illusions die. So this is the message. Nothing inhibits personal relationships with God, with one another, more than the crippling efforts and energies we put forth to pretend that we have it all put together. Probably the greatest stronghold for St. George's Church is a collection of beautiful people pretending that you've got it all put together. Nothing is more damaging to the soul. Nothing is more damaging to the soul than to hide any shame or deep failure or unworthiness that we have from honest self-examination that we can then lift before God. Because it actually gets down to, who do we think God is? Do we think God is the Santa Claus who gives us clothes that are too big or too small? The good news is, though we may try to be invulnerable to one another and before God, God is hardly invulnerable to us. And that is the road that we are on this Lenten season. The journey to the world-altering truth. The life-changing consciousness. Hear this. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. Amen.